News Talk 1400 KFRU is proud to present the KFRU Heritage Series with David Lyle. It's a one-hour perspective on the events and the people whose lives have contributed to the heritage of Boone County. Listen each Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. as we celebrate those who have become part of our history. The KFRU Heritage Series from News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Oftentimes during the Heritage Show's run, I've asked for listeners to give suggestions of guests or give feedback. And so the guest today comes from a suggestion by Debbie Portell and her husband. So I thank them for calling me up and giving me the suggestion that we should talk to Rolando Berry. And he is in the studio with us for this Heritage Show. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
We go anywhere and everywhere on this particular thing. I think a lot of people will know you as the enthusiastic, energetic leader of the High Steppers. And so let's start with that, okay?
All right.
And if we spend 40 minutes talking about them, then I think that's a pretty good way of spending time. Give me the starting history of the High Steppers, and let me ask you specifically about the name, because I think that some of us remember name changes over the years. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct.
So what's the history of them?
Well, you know, I started off with the organization as I was a camp counselor, okay? When I saw the organization at Hickman High School about 37 years ago, they were on the parking lot, and it was like it looked like a dance group. But I'm fresh out of St. Louis, Missouri, the Herbert Hoover Boys Club, where I did drill team. And so at that time, I was driving a school bus. I was a camp counselor for the University YMCA, YWCA. I was a junior at the university. And so I parked my bus at Hickman High School, and I saw this group of kids doing what I thought was, like I said, a drill team. And so I approached them, and at that time, the leader was Darcy Lee Turner and Carl and Woody, and they were two local folks in the community who had a passion for working with kids, and they saw the Cobras, the Marching Cobras out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Yep.
And so what they were doing, they were pretty much trying to imitate to a point, not really imitate, but try to start what they had already been successful with in the drill team with the drums and the stepping. And at that time, there was no direction. It was just a group of kids just trying and some adults just trying. And so I approached him and I told him, hey, I'm from St. Louis. I went to the Herbert Hoover Boys Club and I was part of a drill team. And I would like to show you guys some of the things that we did.
Huh. So that was the first involvement you had.
So that was the first involvement.
You just saw them as you were parking your school bus at Hickman High School.
Yes.
Tell me more about are you saying the Herbert Hoover Drill Club?
Yeah, it was the Herbert Hoover Boys Club.
A boys club. So what age were you when you were involved with that in St. Louis?
13 years old.
And they did similar to what we would think of now as the High Steppers?
Actually, they did. Yes, they did the similar stuff without the drums. We had a drill instructor, and we did call and response move. So a left face, and there was a response, and there was a movement with it. Or a right face, and there was a movement with that. And so that pretty much like it was a takeoff of the old military style.
How big was that group?
When I was growing up, we had about 30 kids, 30 boys, and it was all boys.
Why'd you get involved in that? What was it that led you to do that?
I liked the discipline. And Gary Spencer, who was my drill instructor at that time, was a fifth-degree black belt. And he was one of those guys at the club that everybody respected. And when he started the drill team, and I saw that they were doing something I know he was involved with, and I just gravitated toward that. I was involved with photography, drama, football, basketball, but it was the drill team because of the discipline and because of the role model. I like Gary. You know, I liked his style. He had that zero tolerance type of style, and I gravitated toward
that. How many years were you in that drill team?
I was in that drill team until about, I guess, 13, about ninth grade, 10th grade, 3 or 4 years.
What kind of performances did you get to do? Do you remember places that you went as a member of that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The first performance was the Annie Malone Children's Home Parade, and that's one of the biggest parades in St. Louis, Missouri. And we had a chance to march in that parade, and we marched without drums, and we just we did our clapping and our stomping, and we just left, right, and our singing, our cadence. That was the first one. But the one that I remember most important was the one that we performed for, the performance we performed for the first astronauts that came to our club.
Wow.
And so, and we put on a performance for that, for yeah. those guys. And that was Mr. Armstrong and those guys. I remember all that clearly.
So you're talking about the astronauts that went to the moon, the first ones, Neil Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
How'd they respond?
Oh, they loved it. They loved it. And we were sharp, too. We were sharp. We were on point. You know, I can still see the Tams. We wore Boys and Girls Club T-shirts with the red Tams that we had cocked to the side. And uh-huh. We had on our black shoes and our black pants and our white gloves, and we were sharp.
Was that group that you performed in then as that young person, was it new or had it been around for a long time? So it had a history, right?
No, it was new.
It was brand new?
It was brand new, yeah.
So they started it up, and you said, I like this guy that's leading this. I like what his philosophy is. I want to be a part of this.
Yes, sir.
And you brought that then to Columbia. Let's go back and catch up then. So you see the group at Hickman, and they're out practicing. You're saying, you know what? Let me give you some tips. Let me give you some advice. Is that kind of how that went?
That's how it went.
So what'd they do? How did it become something that you were so associated with? What were the steps along the way as they let you maybe teach them a few things?
Yeah, it was interesting because when I started teaching, I taught three folks, and I can still remember them: Tyrone Raybon, Kirby Marks, and Terrence Gardner. These guys were, I could see them plain as day. I taught them one of the steps that was part of the routine that we did. It was called the quick step, and it was OG, and I taught them that OG. When I say G, turn to your left. When I say Hawk, turn to the right. And then I would sing it OG, OG, and they would keep doing that turn because when I say G, turn to the left. And so when we finally got that routine down, we introduced that to the group, and the group fell in love with it.
Was it boys and girls at this time?
Yes, it was boys and girls.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. But you didn't have drums at that time,
no
right?
drums. Not at that time.
So what was the group called then?
It was called the Blind Boone High Steppers.
Yeah. See, that's a lot of the, and you say that's about 37 years ago.
Yes.
See, that's what a lot of people remember, yeah. Blind Boone. Now, when had they started the group ahead of you? How old was the group when you came in? Do you have any history of that?
Maybe a couple months because they didn't have, they were maybe a couple months because it was just new forming, but there was no shows involved. The first show that they did was, we did together. I took them to St. Louis to the Annie Malone Children's Home uh-huh. Parade. And that was the first show that we did.
And that had to be a great feeling to be able to go back to where you can remember, and it hadn't been that many years ago at that point in time in your life, but to take a group back that you had helped kind of emulate what you had been a part of as a kid.
Yes, yes. And in that parade, we took first place.
Really?
Yes.
Beating your old group?
Well, there wasn't a Herbert Hoover Boys Club drew to me at that time.
Oh.
It dissolved. There was no one.
How many kids were in that group then, the first group of the Blind Boone High Steppers?
Man, I think it was about 40 to 50 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would be late middle school or junior high age up through high school?
Yes. I think the oldest was Manuel Guyton. Manuel Guyton was about, at that time, he was like 17 years old, 16 or 17 years old.
These names come back to you. They must have impressed you. They meant something to you.
Yes, and I still see them today.
Do you? I was going to ask you that about how you keep in touch with the people who were in some of those early groups.
As my staff consists of my first captain, which is Tyrone Raybon, and Kirby Marks. These are my staff. These are the two guys who I would love to see take over the group and to continue the legacy. But these are the guys that started off when they were 13 and 15 years old.
So when did you take over and would be recognized as the head of the group?
You know, it kind of went like immediately.
Uh-huh.
I remember Darcy Lee Turner, who was a former drum major with Douglas High School. And I remember Darcy Lee saying, look, he told the kids, he said, this is Mr. Rowe, and he's going to teach you drill team. And he pretty much kind of took over the little kids and let me deal with the older kids.
That's right. Yeah. So there was a little kid group and an older kid group,
yes.
Even back then at that point in time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the hard times early on? Did you have some challenges early on in those first years? Because this would have been 37 years ago would put you, I think, right at the end of 1979, 1980, or around that time period. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Was it tough at that point in time? How were they sponsored? What was it? Because I'm trying to think. This community didn't have. Did they have a Boys and Girls Club at that time?
No, we didn't have a Boys and Girls Club, and it was tough. There was a lot of bake sales. There was a lot of chicken dinners. There was a lot of parents, you know, pitching in where they can pitch in. There's a lot of money coming from my pocket because, you know, we need money to go to rent the bus to go to St. Louis and to do, you know, gas money to get around. Mm-hmm. But it was very hard. And the biggest challenge we had, and we've always have had this, and that is finding a place to practice, mm-hmm. a stable home. Back during the day, in our earlier part, we was at the housing authority.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us use the Blind Boone Center. That's where we came up with the Blind Boone High Steppers. And that's when we were under, I think it was at that time, it was Juana Faye Albert and Miss Sarah. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But yeah, these are the folks that were over the Blind Boone Center. And so because we were so popular and the kids were gravitating toward it, they allow us to come in.
Mm-hmm.
To work out of the Blind Boone Center.
And you needed an indoor place because of weather, or was that, you didn't always practice indoors. Sometimes you would be outdoors. Would that be correct?
Yeah, yes. Well, we needed an indoor place. We needed a place where we could call our headquarters, where it's consistent. Oh. Yeah. And then when it rains, when the weather was bad, you know, we need to go inside.
What other names have there been of this group? You mentioned the Blind Boone High Steppers, and a lot of people around here still call it that, but that's not the official name anymore.
Right. We were first called the Blind Boone High Steppers. Then we were called the Mid-Missouri High Steppers, uh-huh. because we were around the Mid-Missouri area. And then we became the Missouri High Steppers because we represented the state of Missouri.
How so? I mean, was
and
that...
So, what happened, we had one of our board members, Steve Schweitzer, who's it came up? He said, "You know, we need some kind of branding. We need something that's gonna be open. You know, that's the way Steve thought."
I was gonna say branding goes in hands with Schweitzer.
Yeah, so Schweitzer say, "Let's vote on the Missouri High Steppers," and it represents the state of Missouri. I say, "Well, let's do it."
Not bad at all. No. So after Missouri High Steppers, then any other name? That's it. So you've gone through you know, like three names there, or
yes.
three or four names.
Oh, well, let me back up. Right now, currently.
Yeah,
we are still the Missouri High Steppers, a presentation of the Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club. So that's how we present ourselves.
That's the official name.
That's the
Missouri
official
High Steppers, a presentation of Columbia, Missouri Boys and Girls
Club. Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club.
We'll talk about the current manifestation of the group and how many are in that and things like that. But I'm still fascinated by the history, and I think some of the places perhaps that this group has got to go has been able to go. Let me ask you this before we take a break. When did drums get introduced into the group?
The drums came into the group probably immediately after I started. You know, we got donations. We got some secondhand drums from, I'm not sure, a couple high schools. Mm-hmm. And that's when the drums came into point. Because then we start to see ourselves as the Cobra-like type mm-hmm. of drill team. And the kids want to do dance and we want music. But we used a booms box for a long time, and then we went into the drums.
Cobra's still around in Kansas City? I haven't seen them for a while, but I remember seeing them. It used to be at sporting events and things like that. Do you know about them? Are they still
yes.
there?
Oh, yes. Mr. Willie Arthur Smith, who's a very personal friend of mine, his health is not well, is not very good, but he has an assistant that they're still running the group, and they're still doing the Cobra thing.
We are going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to continue our conversation and join catching up with the history of what are now the Missouri, see if I can get this right, Missouri High Steppers, presented by the Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club, right?
The Missouri High Steppers, a Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club presentation.
Well, I haven't got the legal name down.
That's right.
But I shall work on that. Maybe by the end of this program, I will have that. Rolando Berry is our guest. We'll be back with more. It's the Heritage Show on KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series. More coming up on News Talk 1400, KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series.
Heritage Show today featuring Rolando Berry, who, what's your official title with the Missouri High Steppers? Director, boss, leader, president? What title you like?
Well, the title that I prefer is the executive director.
Okay.
Of the Missouri High Steppers.
how has running it changed in this day and age compared to 35 years ago or so? Is it as a business now, or is it a, how would you compare what it's like now with what it was?
Well, the way it was pretty much a volunteer concept. And with volunteering, a lot of times it's good, and then sometimes it can be a problem, mm-hmm. or be a challenge, not a problem, but a challenge. And so we went from doing shows for free, giving up my time for free, and I found out that letting the kids become a part of it for free, and I found out that was the biggest challenge that we had throughout the earlier years, because there was no ownership of it. There was no reason to come. If, you know, you can come when you want to, but if you pay like you pay, you go to the store, you get your, you know, you get what you get. But then, so that was the challenge earlier, just not having any accountability in terms of finances concerned.
When did that start to change? When did you say, you know what, if you want to be a part of this, you're going to have to invest a little bit in this if you're going to want to either participate as one of the youth, or as somebody who is going to support this and say, we're going to have to make this so that there's some responsibility involved?
Well, I tried it for 37 years,
yeah.
and it didn't work. But as soon as we became partners with the Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club, each member has to pay to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding out that folks want to pay to be a part of it. And you get a different quality of kid and family when you invest.
Help us understand how you, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of the performances.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through your mind of training these young people to give a performance like those of us who have seen it and always cheered and thrilled at that. How do you take us through for the start? You've got a new class of young people. What do you do? How do you decide what you're going to do?
But we take, what I do is I watch a lot of videos of different groups, and I watch not just with their performance, but I listen to the audience, and I listen to what the audience is responding to. And I take what I've learned through over the years, and I kind of look at the tapes that we performed in the past, and I look and I listen to what the audience is saying, how they respond to certain movements. And so I put those movements, keep those movements in our routine.
Mm-hmm.
And so at practice, when I'm practicing with the kids, my whole mind concept is that I'm an audience member. I'm in the audience, and I see everything. So I'm detail-oriented in terms of where your hand's supposed to be, where your knee's supposed to be, your eyes, you know. Make sure you're making your sharp turns, you're accenting when you're supposed to accent, and the ebb and flow of the different performances. So that's my whole mindset, and I try to explain it to the kids, you know, while we at practice, but I explain it to them in a different way. I let them know that, look, you own this material. This uh-huh. is your material, so you have to work it. You have to put some time into it and do it where it's just like tying your shoes. You don't have to think about it, but have fun with it. So that's basically my mindset when I'm working with them. But we drill over and over and over and over those routines until they can get to the point, the steps in the routine, so they can get to the point where it comes.
But you call out the steps. Do you not?
Yes.
So you might, they have to learn certain steps, but then you could call them out in a different sequence during any performance. No two performances are going to be the same.
Yes. Okay. Now we have different styles. This is when the different styles
okay.
come in. I have a call and respond set of steps.
So that goes back to something like you said earlier, where you, especially early on with the three men that you mentioned, how you would say OG or something like that. And that
yes.
was, that's a call and a response.
Yes, that's a call and response.
Okay.
Then we have what you call signals. I give them signals.
Mm-hmm.
And then every signal that I, after a signal, I give them a check whistle. A check whistle, I go tweet, tweet, and everybody know to look at the instructor. And then I put up a signal. Once they see that signal, then it follows with four whistles, and then they execute that particular step in the routine.
Are there other, I mean, so that's, that. Are those the two ways that you do the performances?
And then we have one where I just go without the whistles. I put a signal, and then we count just with movement, hand movements. So if I put up two, and then they know I'm going to throw my hand up four times, on the fourth time, they execute it.
How did kids come to the group? In other words, like I'm thinking back, not just now, but how did they express an interest in wanting to be a part of the High Steppers at any time to the history? How'd this come about?
Well, most of the referrals that we get, or the kids that we get, are from former Steppers, teachers. Teachers are very good in the school system. They always, you need to be a part of the High Steppers for the discipline or for the fun. Teachers are very good at that. We have alumni, children. You know, we have a fourth generation, the third generation.
I was going to ask you, you have to have had kids now whose parents, and you're saying grandparents, had been in the High Steppers?
Well, they have been mothers. So grandparents, yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking of Tanya Hill and Brittany. And now they have their little daughter in it. Yes, yeah.
My goodness. So that does that make you feel old?
Well, I feel special.
Yeah, I would think so also. How big is the group right now?
Right now we have 60 and it's still growing.
Really?
Yeah.
What's an ideal number?
There's no ideal number. The ideal number, I guess an ideal number in terms of as far as performance-wise, I like to make the master show group. That means these are the cream of the crop.
Uh-huh.
These kids are the cream of the crop. They know the creed. They know the steps. They're taking care of business in the classroom. They're really committed. About 50, and that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 drummers and 30 steppers.
When was has it been consistent, or did you find a fall off in interest over the 30-some years? And I would guess that some of that would have to do with what kind of support you were able to get, what kind of place that you had in order to be able to rehearse and to have as kind of a home for the High Steppers. Yeah. What was a low point? What was a point where you said, I don't know, they may not be around next year?
Yeah, the low point is when we didn't have a place to practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we were practicing out of the Columbia Public School System, there were a lot of this distraction, because you know you have to share the building. When you're sharing the building, there's sometimes, you know, with the drums it's too loud for a particular club. They need quiet, and so we had to deal with a lot of that. And so when we got to the point where we didn't know if we can go into the schools, because of every time we were going there, we would have some type of hiccup.
Uh-huh.
Based on the drums, or based on the fact that I have all these kids, you know, coming, and you know, then you have followers. And then if you can't, pretty much, you know, you work with the kids, but the followers are kind of like idle. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's when stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got caught up into one of those kind of scenarios with the Columbia Public Schools. But the low point is when we were not practicing at the Columbia Public Schools, and we were just pretty much out there.
Yeah. What would be a practice schedule? In other words, how much do these participants, how much would a High Stepper be working under your, if you had an ideal week or month or whatever this is? Let me back up before you answer that. When is the season? Is this a year-round activity, or does it have like a season? Is it patterned after the school year, or is it patterned after something else?
Okay, this is a year-round activity, but we have seasons performances. Like during the month of, from August up into November, we have parades. This is our parade season. So we concentrate on our parade performances. And then we have indoor basketball performance, where we do our halftime shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into a competition season. And that's when we go to different competitions around and out of the state.
And that's during the fall time also?
That's more during the springtime, summertime.
Okay. So I'll go back then to my question that led up to my distraction there is, what's an idea when you're working and you have a parade or an indoor or a halftime of basketball game or maybe competition, what kind of practice do they do?
Okay, what we do is we work with the entire group for 3 weeks straight, and that's 2 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. Now we're in October, and so we're in our parade season, and so we need to spend time with the drummers separate from the steppers. And so we would have the drum line come on Monday, just drum line, for 2 hours of intense practice. And the steppers would come on Tuesday, just the steppers, intense 2-hour practice. And then we'd put both of them together on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and we'd put it, and that's how we work. That's how we do our schedule. So we go Monday through Thursday. Mm. And
After school?
After school, from 5:30 to 7:30.
And what are the current age groups of the High Steppers?
Right now we have them from, we have third grade. Third grade is the ideal.
Because, really?
Yeah, third grade is pretty much is where we can really pick them up. They can comprehend what we're doing. They're willing to do the work. Third grade to about 12th grade, or post-high school, if you're interested.
Yeah. You wouldn't want me to be a part of that group. Are you well set for drums and uniforms and things like that? How does that happen?
Well, you know, with our partnership with the Columbia Area Boys and Girls Club, we have access to their fundraisers. And the good thing about it is we have Valerie Livingston and Deron Wilson. I mean, these guys are visionary, and they love what we do. And they have the strong board of directors who are behind us. And they pretty much say, you know, Ro, we know how impactful this organization is in the community, and we're willing to do what we have to do to make it continue to go and to have the success. And so right now, I'm talking to the Boys and Girls Club about new drums mm-hmm. and uniforms.
What do you think you do for the kids who participate, and what do you think they get out of participating in the High Steppers?
Pride. Sense of accomplishment. Teamwork. But most important is the pride. Because every kid that comes into the High Steppers, they know it takes work because they know the history. They've heard the history from their siblings there and from folks around them. They know what it takes.
Some come and are surprised by it and say, I don't know if I can do this or not, maybe, and then come back, or they already understand it by the time that they get there?
They understand it by the time they get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have some kids who are rough around the edges, but they are attracted to the drums. They're attracted to the movement. And so now we have to get them to the point where they understand this is our philosophy.
Do you have a favorite performance venue? In other words, do you like the parades, which are kind of a moving show, or do you like a basketball court where it's right there? It's kind of a stage, and everybody it's a stage in the round. What do you like?
I like the parade. I love the Missouri Homecoming Parade and the Lincoln University Homecoming Parade. And the reason I love the parade is because it's a moving performance. And, I mean, you get a chance to see people that's been around for years. You get a chance to see my old friends, new folks. The alumni come back. But I just love it because the reception that we receive in the Homecoming Parade is, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness. It is amazing.
Do you have any idea how many parades or performances you've done as the leader of the High Steppers?
Goodness, every year, except I guess about 25, 27 parades.
Every year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That many parades?
We've done, yes, we do.
Where else do you go other than MU and Lincoln?
Well, we do Lincoln University, we do MU, and we go into some of the smaller towns. Like we go and do Oktoberfest,
mm-hmm.
and we do in the small towns. We do those parades. Every now and then we go to St. Louis. But since we just restarted, there's going to be many, many more parades.
What's the farthest you've ever taken a group of High Steppers travel wise?
The furthest we've ever gone was Washington D.C. We marched in the inaugural parade. Former President Bill Clinton's first inaugural parade. That was the furthest we've gone.
92 or so.
Yeah, 92,
like that.
Yeah.
Huh. We'll take a break. We'll come back one more segment on the Heritage Show. We're talking to Rolando Berry. This is News Talk 1400 KFRU.
This is the KFRU Heritage Series. More coming up on News Talk 1400 KFRU. This is the KFRU Heritage Series.
Rolando Berry is our guest. We're talking about the High Steppers. I'll ask him this in a moment on the Heritage Show on KFRU. He's our guest. I appreciate him taking the time to be visiting with us as we do this program. Do you like your identity for a lot of people as being the man out front of the High Steppers, or so energetic around that? I mean, if I were to say you'll associate him, Rolando Berry, word association, people are going to say High Steppers.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, there's a lot of other things you do, and maybe we'll talk about those if we have time in this segment. But, I mean, a lot in the community would immediately connect you with that group.
Yes, and I love it.
When you went to Washington for the 1992 inaugural parade, I guess that would have been probably early 93, actually, with Bill Clinton's first, what was that like for the kids?
Well, it was. I mean, they were excited, you know, to see the tall buildings, you know, to be able to to ride. And I mean, they were treated like celebrities. I mean, I remember when we arrived to perform, and we did what you call the pre-parade. And pre-parade consists of doing a stand-up show and keeping the crowd up and kind of, you know, just kind of not letting them fall asleep. But we did 18 5-minute shows back to back.
Wow. Different parts along the stage, along the parade route?
Along Pennsylvania Avenue.
So you would perform in front of one crowd, then you move on down. It was like, it's like the pre-show, let's engage the crowd. Let's get them worked up. Let's give them something to see and to think about so that they don't get bored or restless before the parade starts.
Yes. We were part of that group.
Can you still see the kids? Can you still see that group and see what it was like to watch them? Because that's challenging, first of all, physically, if you did 18 5-minute shows.
Yes.
And but then just the opportunity. What do you see in them?
You know, I saw them working hard. I saw them working hard, giving it all in all. And it seemed like every section that we went to, the crowd was bigger and bigger until when we got down the Presidential Row. I mean, we were at the point where we were at our 16th show, and we had to go through the security. And once we got through on President Road, now we saw dignitaries from all around the world. We didn't have any idea what we were saying. We just knew there were a lot of folks out there. And to see the kids go deeper and go deeper and go deeper, it was amazing.
That's a terrific memory. Yeah. Any others that you think of as the trips that you've gone on? I mean, that's one that, you know, you think about that, that's 25 years ago or almost 25 years ago. That would still be one of the memories of those young people today, and they're approaching middle age if they're not there already.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a clip on a YouTube, Missouri High Steppers YouTube, of part of that performance, and so the kids get a chance to see that.
Do you get nervous before performances?
Yes, and the reason I get nervous is because I'm nervous not for me, but for the steppers.
And what do they say after their first experience as being a high stepper in a performance? They ever talk to you and say, "Oh, I had no idea," or "Oh, I was so nervous, but it went fine," or "This is fun. I can't wait to do it again." What kind of reactions you get?
You know, we have one. Our first performance for this new squad, our reunion squad, the squad that's coming back, our pilot program. We did the Black and White Ball Parade, and in that Black and White Ball Parade, we had a student who joined the group, and her mother said, "Well, she's got asthma, and I'm not sure if she's going to be able to make it through." At the end of the parade, she said to Kirby, not to me, Kirby was telling me the story. Kirby was saying, "Man, I'm not sure what her name was." She said, "Look, I have asthma, and I got through this show." During the whole parade, her mother was trying to give her her inhaler, and she didn't want the inhaler. She kept going, "I don't want that. I don't want it." So, you know, Those are good times when I hear.
What is a longer amount of time year wise that some people have been in the high steppers? I mean, they could have started, I guess, in third grade and gone through 8, 9, I guess, 10 years. Does some of them last that long?
Oh yes, high steppers? As a matter of fact, I have a star drummer right now, Tremonte Miller, and Tremonte Miller's mother was in the drill team. She met his father in the drill team. He was in the drill team. Now, Tremonte has been with me since he was, I think, third grade. And now he's a sophomore at Hickman High School. Tyrone Raybon, who was with me when he was 15 years old, he's been by my side the whole time.
That's just amazing. I mean, it is so fun to see that. And are there any other love story couples that have come out of the high steppers? I suppose there probably would be.
Yeah. My first captains, Tyrone Raybon and Kathy Lawson. They were a combination. As a matter of fact, their grandkids are in the drill team now.
It's a great way for you to get a workout, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And, you know, the good thing about it is that I do all the exercises the kids do. I do the mountain climbers, the jumping jacks.
Oh, so you do go through calisthenics before you start with that?
Oh, yeah. We stretch. We go through calisthenics before. We go through this is one of the powerful moments we do. We have what you call a one-minute meditation. And usually Tyrone, takes it. He's our captain, our drill instructor. He takes it 5 minutes. We stand for 5 minutes without moving.
Hmm.
Not a person in the room moved for 5 minutes. And the reason for that is we want the kids to focus. To focus, not be distracted. You can focus. And so we do that. And that's one of the most, you can pretty much gauge who's serious and who's not.
Yeah. Does he give them certain ways of focusing? Does he tell them, here's how you got to center your mind on about what we're going to ask of you and what you're going to be doing over the next rehearsal?
Oh, yes. He has set the stage beforehand. Then he would go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game face. And you could hear Ant walk on the floor on carpet at that time.
Wow. Yeah. Do you do that, would you do that backstage before you went out onto a parade route, or is this part of a performance day also?
No, we do it at every practice. We do it before in public. And this is very impressive. It's impressive when we do it in a parade. Because in a parade, you have nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. And so when we get off the bus, the first thing we do when we get off the bus, we stretch. We go through the stretch and the calisthenics, and then we lock it up.
Wow.
And then, the folks.
Well, they do have game faces on. I could say, I've seen them, and they do have their game face on.
Yeah.
Because it does take some concentration. You want things. How much freelancing is there in that? Is there any freelancing that works itself into a performance by the High Steppers?
Oh, yes. We have what we call a party with the people.
Uh-huh.
And I would give them a check whistle, and then I would point toward the crowd. And the kids know to go and pick out someone out of the crowd and just start freestyling.
Do you ever find a person who is such an introvert that you say, oh, there's no way that this person is going to exude any enthusiasm and perform and make a connection with the crowd? Are there members of the High Steppers like that?
No.
Oh, they're a wallflower, huh?
No.
And then have it brought out when it's performance time.
No, there might be some who are not as flamboyant as others,
mm-hmm.
but they're on point.
Yeah,
yeah.
What else do you like about this community? What brought you to Columbia from St. Louis, anyway?
I came in 1976, a year after the year I graduated. As a matter of fact, it was a couple of weeks after I graduated from Beaumont High School in 1976. I came up here through a program called Project Start. It was a minority program on campus, and they were recruiting, the university were recruiting minority students from inner city of St. Louis and Kansas City. And I was one of the ones from Beaumont High School that said, hey, I want to try it.
So what did you do? What was Project Start?
Project Start was that we came to the university for 8 weeks, and we took, I think it was 8 hours. No, it was 2-3 hour courses. It was 6 hours for the summer. We stayed in the dorm just to get the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the grade point that we got from those 6 hours was our starting GPA the following semester.
I see.
And so now we're in the system, and so I just stayed up. I loved it up
there.
So
you started at MU then after that?
Yeah, started at MU at that, yeah.
And went through and got your degree at MU.
Well, actually, I didn't complete my degree at MU. I went all the way up to, so I got 16 hours.
Uh-huh.
When I got involved with the High Steppers, I just put the school into the side. Because at that point, I was now hired through the Columbia Public School as a homeschool communicator because of my involvement with the students.
How was that, being a homeschool communicator? Did you like that?
I loved it. Because I got a chance to communicate policies, communicate what was actually going on with their students, with their child, with the parents, with their child at the school. There was it was almost like I was the minority counselor. All the minority kids came to me.
Mm. A lot of people would say if they've been teachers over a 37-year time period, they say, oh, the kids have really changed. What is similar and what is different about the kids that are in the High Steppers 35, 36, 37 years ago and today?
Well, they're all the same. It's all in the approach of the instructors. It's the adult that's in front of them and their mindset. I mean, kids are going to always be curious. They're always going to do some dumb stuff. But it's up to us as instructors and adults to understand where they're coming from and try to give them a clear understanding of the vision.
Is it tougher today to draw them in with cell phones and social media Do they know that once they get to a practice that it's time for that stuff to be secondary? They put that away.
Yeah, it comes from expectations. You know, what you expect and zero tolerance. You set the stage, they'll follow it.
How many times do some of the former high steppers come back and tell you thank you?
All the time. And the good thing about being at the Boys and Girls Club and having the our site, which is on Sexton Row at the Boys and Girls Club Teen Center, we have steppers come in all the time now. Now that they know that we're there, they come in and they say thank you. On Facebook with the media now, I'm always getting thank yous. I get phone calls. Mm. So, yeah.
Boys and Girls Club in the process of raising money for expansion, are they not?
Oh, yes. I think they have reached their goal.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, today, they're doing the groundbreaking.
It's an exciting time, isn't it? And it's neat to be a part of that. And that's... That's why they get credit within the official name. Well, I'll tell you thank you because, I mean, it is an amazing ripple effect that goes through an audience when they know that the high steppers are coming. I mean, I've felt it at basketball games. I have felt it at parades. It is this people sense, oh, they hear the drums or they hear something coming that indicates that these are the high steppers and they react favorably. I've never seen anybody not have a smile on their face or clapping for your group.
Thank you.
It's a tremendous group, so I hope that it continues on forever and that as long as you're with it, I know it'll be run well and you're grooming people to maybe take it over. So
yes.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is our Heritage Show this week. I do appreciate those who have suggested Rolando Berry over the years as a guest on this program, and we appreciate him taking the time. And I'm going to get it right before we wrap up. The Missouri High Steppers, Columbia, Missouri Boys and Girls, a Columbia, Missouri Boys and Girls Club presentation. Did I get that right?
No, almost.
How close?
I help you out. The Missouri High Steppers, a Columbia Boys
area.
A Columbia area Boys and Girls Club presentation.
I just missed the one word. That's only a four-letter word.
That's
Thank you, close. Rolando. Appreciate it again. Hey. That's our Heritage Show this week. This is KFRU.
You've been listening to the KFRU Heritage Series with David Lyle. It's a one-hour perspective on the events and the people whose lives have contributed to the heritage of Boone County. Listen each Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. as we celebrate those who have become part of our history. The KFRU Heritage Series. News Talk 1400, KFRU, Columbia.